Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. The Community Connections Program serves youth between the ages of 13 and 17, referred through the legal system or difficulty in school and our home. Community Connection operates a 12-week cycle composed of key components based on restorative justice principles. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Dr. Cindy Bigby. She's the Executive Director of Community Connections, a restorative justice diversion program for juveniles.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us here.
Oh, I'm really excited. Well, I'm as excited as you are to hear about the program. It's a new program. I didn't know anything about it, so I'm glad to hear about it. I also welcome Tavon Patterson.
Hey.
Glad to have you. He graduated from Rickards, and he's into music, salesmanship, and fashion. So thanks for coming.
You're welcome.
KJ, our Kelvin Hatton, is in the 10th grade. He's into rap, and he attends ACE.
Thank you for having me.
Rakia Whitley is in the 12th grade. She's at Rickards High School, and she's in the military.
Hello.
And Trayvon Barnes attends Fairview Middle School, 8th grade, and he's a rapper.
Hey.
And Trayvon Germany attends Jefferson. He's in the 10th grade, and is a football player.
Hello.
Welcome to 411 Teen. I really appreciate you all coming to share and tell us all about your program. What is Community Connections?
Community Connections is, in my opinion, the best program on the face of the earth. Honestly.
Mm-hmm. I second that motion.
Okay. I agree as well.
Okay. That's what we want to hear.
Yeah. We are a restorative justice program, and we serve, like you said, youth 13 to 17. They come to us in a variety of ways, often through the legal system, sometimes through school, sometimes through the community. And when they're with us for 12 weeks, we're basically teaching them how to have connection and how to come back to connection when there's disconnection. I like to say that what we're doing is taking peace as a very abstract concept mm-hmm. and making it a concrete, doable thing in our lives. And so they're with us for 12 weeks. In that time, we do restorative justice conferences with them on the front end to figure out why they're with us and mm-hmm. how we can best serve them and what things they need to be working on while they're with us. Then they come every Tuesday and Thursday for a class on nonviolent communication, NVC for short. We say it's not just NVC is not just for kids that have gotten in trouble. It's really a communication process that everybody can use. And in fact, we have a 1-to-1 volunteer to student ratio. So if I have 15 youth in the class, I have 15 volunteers. Many of those volunteers are kids that have come through the program that are now back to help in the program.
Okay.
And they're learning the process right along with the kids.
You talk about restorative justice. What is that for the listening audience? I mean, how does it differ? What is it about?
Basically restorative justice, and we like to have an even larger umbrella of restorative practices, which is this idea of making sure you're building relationships, right?
Okay.
So restorative practices on the proactive side, you're building in very explicit, intentional processes to make sure people have connection so that you have a lot less situations where people are harming one another. Mm-hmm. And then restorative justice is maybe when some harm has occurred, and rather than handling it the way that most of our systems handle it right now by putting people outside the circle, what we're actually doing is trying to pull people into the circle and speak with one another and learn from one another and maybe even hear about some of the harms that have happened so that we can make it right, you know?
You were nodding, Trayvon, right?
Yes, ma'am.
You were nodding your head. Did you have something you wanted to add or share when we were talking about restorative practices or restorative justice? What do you think about it? How, you all have been in the program. What do you think about this component of restorative practices or restorative justice?
Honestly, how I feel about it, I feel that it's a process that everyone should use because it truly does work. And it's like once it happens, I mean, everything takes time. So it's like once you actually try it, it's going to take time. Nothing's going to happen like right after you do it. So I feel it just really works. It does. And it's just really, really good.
In what way do you see it's worked for you?
Well,
what change maybe has occurred in your perspective or your life that you can say, ah, that really came directly from, you know, restorative practices?
And I think that they think of it more of as nonviolent communication.
Okay.
That's how they language what they get.
Well, a connection with my mom, a better connection with my mom.
All right.
Another way to speak to people when we just don't connect right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it's really for, connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other comments? Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, so what I think that the nonviolent communication is what it will do for us, it will change the world and make the world be like, instead of people using violence, it will make people connect with each other. Like, let's say if the U.S. and another country get into it, they can use nonviolent communication or NVC to get along with each other and commit world peace. And people wouldn't be dying every day because of some violence. We could just have communication around the world.
One thing I learned from nonviolent communication was that, you know, it allows people to be heard. And you don't speak on your story. It just solely allows people to be heard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me learning nonviolent communication, people could sit there and talk to me for 2 hours. You know, straight, you know, just sit there and talk to me about their problems. And because I have the skills, you know, to just give them, and I make a space. They don't even notice it sometimes, I believe. Mm-hmm. Like, I just make a space, and I was shown how to make that space, you know what I'm saying, for them to feel open and, you know, come to me and talk to me that long and be present with me that long, you know, for 2 hours, you know.
Personally, I feel like if you come into the program with the open mind, you get a lot more from it. And when you come into the program, you realize that maybe the stuff that happens in your life that you feel only happens to you happens to a majority of the people around you. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, you're the same age and you've been through the same thing. So it helps relating more with the group that you're in.
KJ, you have a comment?
This program personally helped me. It helped me, like, with relationships, all kind of stuff like that, just having better like, friendships, better communication. It's like I got, a different language to be able to know, like, how to talk to people better.
How do you all integrate it into your communities? I mean, here you're with everybody who's learning these techniques, who's becoming sensitive. But when you go back into where you live into your milieu, your everyday. How do you integrate that? Because nonviolent communication may not really be the way that is reinforced in where you're from. You get me? Where I'm coming from? Yes, go out there.
I mean, the way that I do it, like, just say, like, if I was to, okay, so say I'm outside and I'm walking around the neighborhood and I'm to see these two guys who's way bigger than me, you could say. They're way, I mean, just you have to really think about it. They're way bigger than me. You could say they're like both 6'8". Mm-hmm. They're really big guys. Say if they were to get in a fight, where they were about to get in a fight, I could come over to them and use NVC, and it would be a very, very good chance that I would be able to calm those guys down and get them to hear each other. And that's what NVC is really about. Once you know that somebody is hearing you, and that's mainly the problem, because when people get into it, they honestly, most of the time, it's just lack of communication. And it'd be because, like, somebody could have said something, or he say, she say. And most of the time, that's not even the case. You just really have to communicate. And that's what NVC is for. It's for connection. You always, I honestly, every time that I use NVC, I always see something change. I always see a change. There's always a connection being made.
Really?
And it teaches you in every conflict that that is no right or wrong. It's just both people have unmet needs. Mm-hmm. You know, right or wrong is a belief system. And I just want to say this, too, is I know what you were saying from, you know, where you come from, mm-hmm. and versus, you know, the class.
Right.
I want to say that's motivation for me to go to class. You know what I'm saying? Just okay. being around positivity in class and in community connections. Mm-hmm. You know, being around negativity so much, you want to be around positivity. So when you find that positivity, a piece of positivity mm-hmm. in your life, you cherish it.
Share how you got involved, because I think that just really speaks a lot.
My girlfriend at the time was court ordered to come to Community Connections. She had got in trouble, and I just, you know, wanted to support her and, you know, go to the class with her. I didn't know what the class was about. I didn't know what I was getting into. I just wanted to go because my girlfriend. And I went in there, and I liked it, and I've been back, you know, since 4 years. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just because I like the positivity and the environment, you know, that, and my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend no longer attends the class.
And you're still there.
And I still go. And wow. I wasn't court ordered.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear you say all that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's a real testimony.
To me, that tells me that we're doing a good job. And I have mm-hmm. a quarter of the kids that come through, a quarter of the kids come back to volunteer. Rakia, who's here, she's back as a volunteer. KJ, too, he comes back and volunteers. So, yeah, to me, that tells me I'm doing something right. If kids that most of them that are court ordered to come in and not so happy on the front end come back, and some of them come back for years, then I'm doing something right. And I don't have to work as hard because they speak for me, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you are doing something right. I mean, look at these folks you got around here. You tuned in to 411 Teen, and I am talking with members of the Community Connections Program. It's a program that serves youth between the ages of 13 and 17, and it obviously makes a difference. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I've got some dynamic folks here. I mean, I appreciate, again, so much you coming and taking the time, you know, to share your experiences with me and my listening audience. Again, I have Tavon Patterson, I have Dr. Cindy Bigby, I have KJ Haddon, I have Rakia Whitley. Got it right, didn't you?
Yeah.
Trayvon Barnes and Trayvon Germany. Trayvon, I know you had some comments, and we were going on break, so now.
Well, what I was going to say was, I think that our program should really be invested into the schools, because how is, like, just what it's done for me and how it helped me, and it's like I have a whole nother perspective at life now. It really does open up. It takes it to, like, a whole nother level.
How long have you been in the program?
I've only been, this is actually my first session of it, so I've only.
Oh, really, wow.
Yeah.
3 months.
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Now, tell me about the program. I mean, does it last year? Is it year throughout the year, or is it just in the summer?
We've been running on a 12-week cycles throughout the year.
Okay.
So it's pretty much throughout the year.
Throughout
every
the
12
year.
Weeks, we uh-huh. start with a new set of kids. And then volunteers. And like I said, a lot of the volunteers are repeats because they just like to keep coming back. We don't even have a problem getting volunteers. In fact, I usually have more volunteers than what I need because the kids keep coming back, and a lot of the adults, they're learning the process right along, and it's helping them in their lives as well. So,
what about these individuals who may be listening and hear and find this to be, you know, a really, you know, stimulating program that they think they want to become involved in? What do they do?
They can just call over to the we're operating out of the Palmer Monroe Teen Center.
Okay.
So they can call over to the Palmer Monroe Teen Center or
do you have that number?
I should have that number. I was pulling up my I have a relatively new city cell phone, so I was pulling up my number for folks. So give me a second. You guys can keep talking, and I'll come back with it.
Well, give me – yes, brother, go.
Okay, so I've been in the program for 12 weeks. At first, I was like, I don't want to go to the program because, you know. But then, like, after the first week of the program, I was like, it's interesting. So I want to keep coming to the program.
Well, what was it? I mean, you need to can this and sell it, Cindy.
I know. Mean,
I'm serious.
I want to can it and have everywhere.
I know.
Because it's not just that they're into it, but it's making an impact, and it truly minimizes the conflict that everybody's trying to figure out how to do it. And I think we have it down to a science, honestly.
Well, I was talking about, you know, it's not television. You don't have to worry, you know, how you look. But I wish folks could see you all. You know what I mean? Because obviously you're really invested in the program. You're excited about it. You like it. And, you know, that's the biggest testimony.
Mm. Well, and the other thing, too, is, you know what? I would say you could get just about any kid that's come through it to sit at this table and you would see the same sort of thing. I didn't just, you know, I could have picked many.
You didn't cherry pick.
Correct. Things. I did not cherry pick.
She had options.
I had many, many options of kids to be able to come in here and speak on behalf of the program. Truly. You're happy.
Go ahead. What else do you have to say about it? What's a typical day like? I mean, you said it's 12 weeks. Yes.
Well, every time I come in class, I can assure you, there's nothing but positivity. There really is. Like, there's been days that I've honestly came in class, like, just, like, not in the mood, but by the end of class, like, I just don't want to leave. There's always positivity, and I think it's because it's the process that we use.
Well, share with us. What is this process? What is it? It's something.
We use empathy, and we do not use, we use no judgment at all.
But you have to understand we actually teach empathy. It's not – my staff and I, we joke that we have to come up with a new name for it because most people think when you say empathy, they know – they think that they know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We teach a process of presence. How do you be present with somebody, like put your full attention? Anyway, actually, why don't you guys say what is empathy?
Yeah. Well, basically you put – like if you're having a conflict with a person, you're going – put your full attention on that situation, on that person, trying to figure out like what's going on, and you basically listening to what they're saying and reflecting, making sure they know that you hear what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you saying the feelings and needs, so you could take away from the blame,
which is the judgment part that I was telling you that we do not use,
which brings more connection.
Right, which is why we have a connection. I put up a definition of connection on the first day of class every time, which connection is the energy that exists among people when they experience being seen, heard, and valued, and when they can give and receive without judgment. And I tell them, that's just a bunch of words to you right now. Like, you don't, nobody's probably even paying attention to me here. Mm-hmm. But I said, we're going to revisit this in 12 weeks, and I'm going to ask you if you had this experience. Did we have connection in this class, right?
Every day.
And like he says, every day. And I tell them, it's not just kind of sort of, it's all by design. We're using processes that let you have an experience of being heard, seen, and valued, and have no judgment. And we teach it, and we replicate it every single time. Every single class, and every one of these kids that's having this experience, they all have this experience.
Now, tell me about the class. When do you meet? What I mean, if you're in the program, what is your involvement like? I mean, what kinds of things do you do? You know, when do you do them? What does your day look like? Because I know it's a 12-week program. So, you know, so we can have an idea of what is happening? I mean, do you go to school in the morning and then come in the evening? Is it Monday through Friday? Is it, you know, I'm just trying to give me a picture.
Well, since it's a 12-week, well, really, it's like through the week, and it's Mondays and Thursdays.
Okay.
No, I said that wrong. I'm sorry. It's Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
You should have a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay, so it's Tuesday and Thursday.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, yeah.
Sure. Well, when I was in school and when I was in the cycle last time, I usually come straight from practice when I was in RTC for a drill team. So I would just come straight, and usually I'd be, like, hectic and scrambled and everywhere. But once I got into the class and sat down and started to feel how I felt, it was just good. And then we would usually play a game to get everybody, like, you know, loosened up a little bit. And it just makes the class go by smoother when you're around a lot of people that you feel comfortable with and that you can relate to on a different level with people you can't relate to maybe at home or outside of the class.
So, and we sit in a big circle.
Okay.
So if we've got 30 people, 40 people.
That was my next question.
We sit in a big circle.
How many people do you use?
Well, we usually start out with 35-ish or so. And we typically might lose, you know, a couple of kids early on because we're very firm about attendance. You got to be there because, you know, it's just like math. If you miss a piece of it, you miss a piece of what, what the learning is, right? But, yeah, usually it's between 30, 35 people. And we sit in a big circle. We have a talking piece. That's part of this process of making sure people are heard. We really break it down for people on the front end about what does safety look like. Like, we don't tell people that you can't.
Yeah, give us an example.
Well, the way I say it is, okay, I need your presence. Like, all the agreements are done in a way for people to understand the need behind the agreements, not that they're rules just to have a rule. Mm-hmm. Even the agreements are based in this idea of power sharing. Everything we do is power sharing in this process, and because it's kind of based on this idea that most of the violence or all the violence that happens in the world is because of power over processes, right? Mm-hmm. There's an imbalance of power. So what we're trying to do is model how do you actually share power and still get things done. And it's all based on communicating what the need is behind everything. So I need presence in the class. We have this agreement. We come together. Mm-hmm. And that's because I got some skills around, you know, communication and not having violence in your life that I think could be really, really helpful, but you got to be here. So we break down what is presence and what is presence not just bodily but mentally, you know? Like, we want you here. And so, you know, we have presence, and then we talk about, like, what is respect? Because people always say, like, we say, how do we want this class to be? Have you ever been in a really good class before where you learned a lot? Like, what was in that class? What made it like that? We talk about it. And then they say respect, and I say, well, what is respect? How does that even show up? And I share how, like, respect is, like, there's some safety, like having emotional safety in a class. If someone's talking when you're talking, I say, even me as the adult, if someone's talking when I'm talking, you know what's really going on for me? I get scared, and I think that you're talking about me. Mm-hmm. And then I don't feel safe anymore. And I see heads then usually shaking. I'm like, and I could see most people have that same experience. So when we're asking you not to talk on the side or to respect the talking piece, it's because we want emotional safety here for everybody, not because I'm trying to be a big old meanie with you all. You know, and they get that. Mm-hmm. Right, and then we all hold one another to the agreement. So there's a lot of intentionality built in. We sit in a big circle. Every class, we start with self-connection. So we slow down. We figure out where we are. We get real with each other as we check in. What are we feeling? Whether our needs are being met or not in the moment. And then we always do a game. And then we go into some part of the NVC process learning. And there's a lots to it. It's like it's a lifelong journey to really learn and implement NVC.
Trina. Oh, I thought you had something to say.
Thank you.
Kent, do you have any place for volunteers to work in the program? I mean, who are not, you know, participants.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, I'm just thinking for those, again, who may be listening.
For people that want to sit in on any of the restorative justice conferences, we always have volunteers, community members that sit in there. For the classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, like I said, if we have...
What time are they and where are they?
The classes are 6 o'clock to 7:30 every Tuesday and Thursday. We operate out of the Palmer Monroe Teen Center, which is on Jackson Bluff Road right next to Sale High School. And we, like I said, if we have 15 new youth in there, we have 15 volunteers. Part of that is because they're learning that empathy process, so we break into dyads and we practice giving and receiving. What KJ mentioned, presence, reflecting back what the person is saying, listening for the need. We practice that constantly with one another, and we do a lot of processes so that when people are charged, they have a possibility of coming at it with empathy rather than what we call other conversational responses. Okay. So, yeah. And we do community service once a month as well. And then the youth also have a case manager. There's three of us that work in the program. I have two amazing colleagues that work with me, Julia Denholm DeMaria and Dan Kahn. And they're really dedicated to the process and to the youth. And we meet with the kids once a week, continuing the process. Like, we might, if they need to be heard about something, we believe if people are upset or in conflict, it's because they need to be heard. Mm-hmm. So just hear them, you know. The kid might be having an issue at school. They can let us know. We'll come over there, hear them. Boom. It's like totally, de-escalated just by listening in a particular way. There's lots of places that volunteers can plug in.
When and this is to all of you who have been in the program, maybe finished in or back, when you think about the program, what was the biggest challenge for you in becoming involved in this program and getting what you needed out of it? Because obviously all of you had to go through some type of metamorphosis to get to the point of where you are, because you're talking about a whole different twist, a whole different perspective, a different take on situations and communication and interacting. So I'd like to hear that from each one of you. What was the challenge? Yes, go right ahead, Trayvon.
Okay, so the challenge was me at first was getting to know the program, because at first I didn't know what nonviolent communication was. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I knew what it was, but I didn't know how to use it in that particular way. So it was hard to try to figure things out and try to do it. So I have to practice when I'm in class or when I'm at home to try to get a better connection with everybody and try to get everybody emotions and their feelings and see how they process through it and get more people to it.
And when you say practice, what kinds of things did you do to get more in tune with the program when you say practice? Just give us an example.
Example, so I'll look online and look up the word empathy and like go down the list of words how to use nonviolent communication. So when I do that, I try to bring it into a class and try to make it better for me to practice it more. And I know they have books for me to learn, so I'm going to have to go to the library and get more books to practice.
Okay. All right.
The most difficult thing, like, was changing the way how I handled, conflict. I was a fighter. By the time I was in eighth grade, I believe it was sixth grade, I counted 40 fights I had been in. 40 fights. And I was a fighter, and that was the way I was used to handling things. Right. And, just empathy showed me a way to, think that. And, I didn't, right when I went into class, I didn't do things like that. I didn't do things like the way they taught it.
Okay.
It took me to go to work and get kicked off the clock and doing things my way and having it hard, you know what I'm saying? And doing things that I'm the way that I'm used to and how I was trained to do things. It took me to do that and see, dang, the results. Like, I'm getting kicked off the clock. I'm not getting this. I'm not getting that. Yeah, it's not working my way. So then I'm like, let me at least try it, and then I tried it, and it became a part.
Okay.
Well, I think when I first started, the only thing, I still kind of have this problem now. And it's like when I'm actually in empathy or when I'm giving empathy, it's like I'll say things that's like not a feeling. That's more of a judgment. Like if I was to say I'm disappointed.
Okay.
That's not a feeling. That's a judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and that'll come too. I mean, it takes time. It's what I hear. You know, you're not going to do everything overnight, okay? And the other part of it is you're aware of it. You know, that's something that, oh, this particular little piece, I know I do this, so I need to regroup and do it in a different way.
Yeah, a big part of the process is not doing it properly.
Mm-hmm.
You learn
mm-hmm.
every time you make a mistake, and then maybe try it differently, and you get to kind of lay down those new tracks.
And then when you lay those tracks down and you find out that they work, that
reinforces it. Yes, it does.
Can you share?
I think my biggest challenge was acceptance. Like, I didn't want to, like I had to be in this class every Tuesday and Thursday. I was court ordered to go, so I really mm-hmm. kind of didn't have a choice. And then that was kind of blocking my pathway for learning.
Yeah.
But when I sat in the class, after about 2 weeks, I kind of got, okay, this is kind of this straight. Like, I see, and then after a while, it was like, okay, now I'm looking forward to going every day. Like, so it went from.
So
like,
you went from a total metamorphosis to I don't want to be here. You know, I have to be here. I've been court ordered, so I don't have much choice. Mm-hmm. I got to jump through this hoop, whether I like it or mm-hmm. not. But all right, I'll go on and play the game and do what I got to do.
Yeah.
And then you got caught up in the mm-hmm. game. You found
KJ. Are you willing to share like a little bit about like what? You know, before you, why you even got in trouble in the first place, like what was going on for you and like what's changed around that?
Yeah. So
I might have to interrupt you, excuse me, but go ahead and then we'll come back wherever I have to interrupt you at, if you want.
I done had a lot of bad stuff happen in my life. My mom would have died and then my daddy went to jail. So I ended up in a group home after a good amount of time.
If you're just tuning in, this program is 411 Teen, and we are going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
Community Connections is a dynamic program for youth between the ages of 13 and 17. I was just talking with KJ and he was sharing what he had experienced and I had to interrupt you. So continue. You were saying that your mother died and then your father went to jail?
Yeah, and then I
How old were you when that happened?
14. Okay. 14. Okay. Yeah, 14. And then after a while, I was about 15, and I ended up in a group home after some other stuff. And I got mad throwing stuff and stuff, and after a while, they got sick of it, and then I kicked the door and broke it off the hinges, and they called the police and had me arrested. And then that's when I ended up in this program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How were you feeling when you were going through all those things? Sounds like you were kind of angry.
I mean, it was, yeah, I was angry, but I mean, it wasn't nothing. I just got mad at it sometimes. Like, I mean, because mm-hmm. it wasn't really nothing I could do about it either way. I mean, it happened. So it wasn't, mm-hmm. crying wasn't going to make it better. So it just sucked it up, I guess.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
So the biggest challenge for me entering the program was getting comfortable, because for about the first 2 weeks, I was very upset with myself for even getting into the program because of the situation that happened. But eventually, I kind of was like, you know, I'm in this. I have to complete it. So let me just, you know.
Can you share a little bit about the situation that happened that got you in there?
Well, I got into a fight with my sister, and I ended up getting arrested the night, and I went home the next day, and I just went about my day, and I've never been arrested. This is like my first time ever getting in trouble, because I'm usually a good girl. Like, mm-hmm. I don't get in trouble, but I got in trouble this time, you know, letting my anger take the best of me, and I was in and out of court for a long time before I even got into the program. But eventually when I started the program, I still was very upset. I wasn't crying or anything, but I was very angry at myself, because I carried myself in a way that I don't want little things like my anger to just change how people view me.
Mm-hmm.
You have needs of integrity, maybe?
Yes. So, you know, I was upset, but I kind of figured, you know, I brought this on myself, so, you know, I had to deal with, you know, the consequences. So once I started to apply myself in the classes, I found out it was really interesting in that it deserves a lot more recognition than it has, because it's a really good program. And I feel like if everybody knew this, there would be so many changes in the world. But, you know, it's baby steps, and this is a baby step. So
you all can be ambassadors for the program, yes. For real. Yeah.
Could I reflect back to you what you said?
Yes.
That's part of the process. Yes. They learn to actually hear each other, because somebody could say something, but if they don't hear a reflection, they don't know if actually anybody even got them.
Okay,
so that's part of what they learn.
So basically you were saying, you know, you wasn't feeling the class. You had, you know, some thoughts about the class because, you know, you're just used to not getting in trouble and, you know, you have needs of integrity.
Yes.
And you just want people to see you, you know, for who you are. And you would like recognition and just some awareness. You have needs of awareness, you know, about this class because you feel like it is good. The more you applied it and, you know,
remove the anger out of it and more or less just owned up to it that mistakes happen. And you have to just roll with the punches sometimes and just take life for what it is. So you gotta learn your lesson.
I'm impressed.
And I just want to say that was nervous empathy.
I want to make a little plug here too. This is something that I really want to make sure is heard by whoever listens to this. Is that like these kids? They're not really even kids. They're brilliant to me. And not just these kids, but like every one of the kids that end up coming through our program, people have an idea of, like, you know, how kids that get in trouble, like who they are and how they are, right? Mm-hmm. And like I've been doing this for, I guess, going on like 5 years now, and it's amazing to me who each of these kids are, how they show up. What you're hearing here is not, it's not staged, it's not different than what you would hear if you came into my class, from all of them, you know? And I just wish that our community knew as intimately, you know, these kids and who they are, the way that we have the honor of knowing them coming through the program. It would do a whole world of good to help bring us more together as a community. You know, and I'll just be straight up. Like, I mean, I'm a white woman,
right?
All the youth sitting around the table are black.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, if I'm just going to be very transparent about that here, and we have too much disconnection in our community, right about that, and it's because we don't know each other.
You were reading my mind, in that my next question to them is, all y'all are black, and then what about your two partners?
They're white.
So you have the white folks coming in and telling you what to do and how to handle things in your life and in your community. Did that have any impact on you at all? Did you think about this? Now, what is she going to tell me?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, I own it.
Okay. I mean, you know, let's be real.
Bring it
up. Yeah,
it was
a feeling of uncomfort at first, but then it's kind of like, it isn't that, because like they don't come in there telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They lay it out for you, and you decide. If you decide to do it, it's on you to do it. They give you choice. You get what I'm saying? So, and they respect everybody's, you know, in my opinion, they respect everybody, you know, need for choice. You know what I'm saying? And
let me hear that from Olive.
So how I think about it is, everybody in the class has their own power in the class. So it's like, it's basically like an independent thing in the program for everybody to get to do what they have to do in the program. And they just like teach you how to do it and how you get through it like that.
Okay.
Could you repeat the question?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm just wondering, what was your reaction to having Dr. Bigby come in and her colleagues come in, and they're white folk. They don't know, but you know, they don't know where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. They don't know anything about you. They can't connect. They don't know your world. And they're going to come in and try to mold or change your world, whatever, however you want to say. Did that have any influence on you? Did that have an impact? I mean, you know, you might have been sitting back going, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. What's she going to say?
Okay.
I know where you come from. Well, what can she tell me?
I don't know.
What does she know?
I think it was different for
okay.
me. Because when okay. when me and Miss Cindy first met, it was honestly at court. And okay. me and my mom, we had just got into a big argument because they had offered this program to me. And they okay. said, and I was just like, but I didn't even do anything wrong. And I was just like, not with it. And once I really got in there and I sat down at the table with her and my mom, I realized she was hearing me and my mom wasn't. And I don't know, it's just like my emotional safety net was built with her. She helped me. And it was like, because she also let my mom see it from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a big thing for me. I just really wanted my mom to see it from my perspective. And Miss Cindy actually helped. She did.
Okay,
and
it was so like, that was your connection.
Yes, it was like we once we met, we connected.
Okay, all right. Can I? Yes, go right ahead.
Well, before I came into this program, like through the court system, I used to like have trouble at home with my dad and stuff, and they sent me to a program which I don't really want to say the name.
You don't have to.
But it was the coordinator over was a black woman, and it was about money. I had to pay to go through the program.
About money? What do you mean?
I had to pay for her services. And basically, it was kind of if you didn't pay me, we don't really have nothing to talk about type of thing.
Oh, okay.
So that didn't really help me. And then it kind of worsened my attitude mm-hmm. a little bit. But, you know, when I came and met.
Because you didn't feel, it sounds like you didn't feel like that was genuine. She mm-hmm. wasn't real. Mm-hmm. You know, she was getting, you know, picking up
money,
paycheck.
How it is sometimes, uh-huh. but
yeah.
My person, when I went through the cycle, was Miss Julia, and
her case manager. Yeah, we call her your person.
Yeah, my person. She showed me, you know, a lot. Like, I could describe her in a million words, but what really showed me that she really cared is when I ended the program and I still wanted to come back, and she reached out, and when I was in the cycle, we would meet once a week. And, you know, we have our one-on-ones and, you know, just talk and stuff like that. And when I ended the program, she still wanted to meet with me, you know, once uh-huh. a week. And we've been meeting all summer. And it just showed me, you know, like, to them, it's not about the money. It's kind of more about, you know, making us better uh-huh. and helping other people. So it just shows you there's people out there who don't do it for the money, that really genuinely care.
It may be met needs for authenticity and growth.
It kind of go back to what I said earlier about acceptance, like oh, this finna be another kind of program, I ain't finna get nothing out of this, nothing like that. And then like that's when I said it was kind of straight after a few weeks, like I started looking at these people like they gonna actually help. And then after a while, like, you know, I met with Miss Cindy, you know, every week and everything. And it's kind of like, you know, like my auntie type thing. Like, that's not just uh-huh. some regular white lady that just in this program. That's like family now.
Okay.
Type of thing.
Wow. That's great.
That is truly how it is. And, I worry sometimes because we are three white folks and, you know, we serve mostly black right. kids, right? And the thing is the reason why it's the three of us is because we have the skills in nonviolent communication. We've had, and probably due to our privilege, okay, mm-hmm. we've had the ability to get trained up very heavily in NVC for years, and lots of our own money paid down to get trained in this level. And NVC, the nonviolent communication, is all about seeing one another without judgment. So I had to have, because there's not too many people out there that have the NVC training, and it takes years really to get mm-hmm. it. So I'm like, man, are we going to be able to roll here? Because we are three white folks. But, we've been doing this for years, and we replicate the same kind of feeling in this community every time, where it really it's hard for me to say because maybe I'm a white person saying it, but I think that it seems like we almost like can erase that difference, you know, that barrier between us. We do it, and we have discussions on race in the class, you know. We talk about it, like, and we do it using the MVC process. Let's do it in a way that could get edgy, but we're going to hear each other, you know, because that's what we don't tend to do. We don't tend to have conversations about race in mixed company, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's do that so we can hear each other and see that we can live through this and still have connection at the end of the day, you know.
Do you find that this approach has changed your perspective? And by that I mean we all stereotype, okay? And there's a nonverbal communication that goes on. I mean, the moment you saw her, you, whether you admit it or not, you conjured up some ideas of what she was going to be about. Okay, just she hadn't said anything, you know, and the same thing might be, you know, with you. I mean, she saw you. I mean, I might see you one way. I always tell this story. This is real funny. I have to say it real quick. You know, there are three or four brothers standing on the corner, and a white person comes by and looks at them and goes, oh, something's getting ready to happen. Some trouble's getting ready to start. Okay.
Yeah, just because they're standing there.
Because they stand on the corner. You know, a fellow person of color may come by and say, oh, hey, what's happening? How y'all doing? Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
You know,
that happens to me so much. And the top of my neighborhood, okay, I'll be waiting for a ride.
You feel me? Ooh. Yeah, you and you know, and the four of you, one might be standing there waiting for a ride. The other one just got off the bus and saw somebody he
knew. A dude came and told my mama. He went down there and said, hey, it's a weird black guy, you know, at the top of the neighborhood. I don't know who he didn't
mom.
My mama didn't even know it was me. Like, she like, for real? And then she asked me, she was like, you heard about it? She asked me something. She was like, you was out there? She was like, I knew that was you. They were talking about.
That's funny.
So, yeah. I mean, so do you find that it has changed you in that way?
Yeah. I mean, I don't look at people like, okay. I don't look at people like, okay, you this color, so I can't hang with you, stuff like that. I mean, mm-hmm. We both bleed blood, so I mean,
same color.
Same, mm-hmm. Everybody the same color. We all human, so that's how I look at it. We're just people.
I can be transparent here. When I first started 5 years ago, because I would get the police reports, so I'd read the police reports, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, I was scared. Like, I was scared for quite a while. Like, I'm like scared to like, but I was like, we're going to do this, you know, because you have this idea of, like, how people are, especially when you read about, like, the things they did, and then you meet them, and you're like, really? This is who these people are? Like, really? You know?
Uh-huh.
It has definitely opened my world, and I thought I was really open to begin with, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. How are you funded? We're almost out of time.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that, because I did want to put out an appreciation. The city of Tallahassee is the main folks behind Community Connections.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a grant from the Florida Department of Juvenile Justice.
Okay.
It was a competitive grant, which, you know, for the last 6 years, the first year we were number one in the state for our grant out of many, many, like probably, you know, 100 plus. And last time I think we came in number two. So DJJ, I think, really likes what we're doing as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now it costs the participants nothing.
Zero.
Okay. So yeah. You don't have to pay anything to come and participate, unlike that other program you were.
Yeah.
They feed us.
Yeah. That's
well, right. Just pay attention.
Our volunteers, we have volunteers sometimes, they just bring in a lot of food. You know, it's so sweet. The whole community is so sweet. And I really dream one day that we have more of it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that if we had this kind of process in schools, they would eliminate so much of the conflict and bring about so much more community in schools, really. I'm
and
sure
this,
of it, actually.
This last minute, any words of wisdom? Yes, brother?
Well, I feel they shouldn't knock it. I feel that we should at least be granted with a chance to try this in schools.
Mm-hmm.
As Miss Cindy was saying, because, you know, what you're just what was the word you guys used again? Oh, transparency. Mm-hmm. Just even with that, like, no one's really brought into this world to hate. To hate a different color for no reason. Well, it's really
taught. It's learned.
Yes, yeah. you have to learn that.
Right.
And if this process was put in schools, I feel like it would just change everyone's perspective.
Especially like Southside schools, yeah. Where most, you know, things happen and stuff like that. Like Rickers or FAMU or Fairview, mm-hmm. NEM, schools like that.
Okay. Well, we are out of time. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming and sharing your stories. You'll have to come back. I mean, we'll have to make this an annual kind of thing. To my listening audience, thank you for your ear and your time. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.